when Job's world collapsed around him, when he lost his children, his friends, his riches, and health, where did he turn? His own strength? His own resolve? No, he endured because he trusted that God was in control. How can you have faith like that? Find out next on Grace to You Weekend. Of years back, John MacArthur taught a study on Grace to You Weekend on the doctrines of grace. It was called Chosen for Eternity. And frankly, the response to the series was so big, record-breaking indeed. Why do you suppose that was? Why would a theological-sounding topic like the sovereignty of God and salvation generate such response? Well, a lot rides on this issue of sovereignty. If you've ever wrestled with the idea that God chooses whom he saves, whether sinners have free will to choose or reject Christ, or if you can lose your salvation, you've wrestled with the issue of God's sovereignty and salvation, what are called the doctrines of grace. And that's the title of John MacArthur's study here on Grace to You Weekend, the doctrines of grace. And here he is with today's lesson.
Let's go back to our text of 1 Peter chapter 1. And let me go back just to what we said last time. First of all, we're protected by a living hope. Protected by a living hope. Verses 3 and 4, 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. I love this word, reserved in heaven for you. Secondly, we are protected by God's own power. We just simply said last time, that phrase in verse 5, protected by the power of God, is intended to remind us that we are protected by the greatest power there is. Thirdly, and this is very important for us, we are protected by hope, we are protected by power, we are protected by trials. We are protected by trials. Look at verse 6. We rejoice even though now, for a little while, if necessary, if God determines that it's necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Trials strengthen faith, and they reveal true faith. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 says essentially the same thing. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know, I guess there's something wonderful about getting to the age I'm at. People ask me, do you question your salvation? Sometimes young people ask me that. I'm struggling with whether I'm really a Christian or not. Do you struggle with that? And my answer, honestly, is no. When I was very young, the devil would hammer me with doubts. But the truth of the matter is, I don't question the true character of my saving faith because it's withstood so many trials. Every time you go through a trial, you see the nature of your faith. The trials don't help God find out what kind of faith you have. He gave it to you. It's not that he needs information about your faith. But they become a joy to you. When you encounter various trials, verse 3, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance has a perfecting result. I mean, what is more wonderful? What is a greater gift than to have the assurance of salvation? Anything better than that? If you've ever lived with doubts and fears and all of that, it's wonderful to know you've got the real thing. It's wonderful to see its capability to survive disaster. In fact, I have found in my life that the more severe the trial, the stronger my faith is. The more my confidence in God rises. 2 Timothy is another text that is helpful on this. 2 Timothy 1:8. Paul says, join me in suffering for the gospel. according to the power of God. Verse 9, God who saved us called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. There is that doctrine of election predestination, which is foundational to our security. But he says in verse 10, now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer. But I am not ashamed. He's saying, I survive amazingly. In fact, I rise to the occasion. The greater the suffering, it seems as though the brighter the shining testimony. And now Paul can say from personal testimony, middle of verse 12, I know whom I have believed. How do you know him? Because he's manifested himself. He's manifested himself in all my suffering, in all my trials. And I know whom I have believed. I know that I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What is that day? Redemption Day, the day of Christ, the day you see him face to face. I know whom I have believed. I know that I have believed. I know he is able, that is dunatos, he is powerful to guard what I have entrusted to him. By the way, that's paratheke, that's deposit, what I've deposited with him. My life, my soul, my eternity. I know he's able to guard it. I know he can guard it through my faith, because no matter what the trial, my faith never fails. He has given me a faith that survives it all. Real faith emerges from trials stronger than ever. You know, back to Romans 8 again. You just can't stay away from that chapter talking about this. But in Romans 8, Paul says in verse 35, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything that can happen that can cause Christ to stop loving us? Or you could flip it over. Either way in the Greek, is there anything that could happen that could cause us to stop loving Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? You think he just sort of grabbed those words out of the air? No, that's autobiographical. Been there. Tribulation? Oh. Daily plots against my life. Distress? Without food? Without clothing, cold, in the sea, persecution, constant, famine, often, nakedness, as a prisoner, beaten with whips, rods, in peril of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in peril of the Gentiles. He gives a whole list in 2 Corinthians 11. Sword, been there, seen that, waved at me. And I'm telling you, in it all, though we are put literally on the brink of death all day long, we were considered a sheep to be slaughtered, verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly what? Conquer. That's where the word Nike comes from. Nike, the conqueror. See, this kind of faith that God gives us rises in the trial. It rises. Now, I've never faced persecution. I've faced some pretty hostile environments. You have to put your faith on the line in some environments. I find a level of energy and a level of commitment and a level of conviction and a level of boldness in those environments that perhaps is even greater than others. And there is that work of the Holy Spirit, so that that trial becomes for me the affirmation that the faith, not mine, but that he's given me, is the real thing. Trials do, back to our text, produce distress for a little while. They come like fire to burn off the dross. And that's the point. Not only do they reveal your faith, but they purify it. And what emerges, 1 Peter 1, is a faith that is more precious than gold, which is perishable. even though tested by fire. When you get your faith tested, it comes out purer, more precious. And I will tell you, you know, with that in your mind, you, instead of asking for God to protect you from trials, you should ask Him to make sure He puts you through all the trials necessary to give you the confidence that your faith is real. So we're protected. We're protected because God has given us a living hope. That is to say, it's a hope built into our faith that cannot die. God has given us a faith that is energized by divine power that cannot be assaulted. No force is its equal. And God also protects us through a faith that is tested and tried. There's something else here that I must mention to you, 1 Peter, number 4 in my little list. We are protected by eternal purpose, by a living hope, divine power, trials, and eternal purpose. Look at verse 7. We are headed for something, the end of verse 7, to be found in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith is designed to survive to the end. This is an amazing promise. We have a faith that hopes, a faith that is unassailable, protected by divine power, a strength of faith that is only made stronger through trial. We have a proven, tested faith that finds its fulfillment in the purpose and plan of God in a union with the Lord Jesus Christ at His appearing, at which time we receive glory, praise, and honor from God. And that goes right back to the reason we were saved in the beginning. We were chosen so that we would be brought to eternal glory. Yeah, you know what the Bible teaches about this. We'll be like Him. We'll have a body like unto His body. We have a heavenly home. He's preparing a place for us. We're just passing through this world. We're not citizens here. This momentary light affliction that we suffer is not to be compared with that glorious weight of glory that awaits us in His presence. We cry out for the redemption of our body because we know what God has prepared for those that love Him. You know all those verses. We are already, as it were, heavenly citizens. Our Father is there, our home is there, our life is there. The pledge of God is to bring us to eternal glory. And by the way, that was His pledge, not at the time of our hearing the gospel and believing it. That was His pledge to us in eternity past, long before we ever, or anybody ever, was even created. God predetermined then that we would be brought to eternal glory. That is to say, you don't understand salvation at all if you don't understand its three dimensions. There is the point at which you believe, there is the process by which you are kept, and there is the final salvation in which you are glorified. And when God predetermined to save you, He predetermined that all three would take place, not some part of them. That's why in Romans 8:18, Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Whatever we might suffer here, we rejoice because it shows us we have a real faith and strengthens that faith. And none of that suffering is to be compared with the glory that God has predetermined for us. So we are protected by a living hope, divine power, trials, and the promise of eternal glory. Can I just give you one more? Number 5, we are protected by undying love. We are protected by undying love. Verse 8, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. That's the bottom line. We have a love for Jesus Christ. If anybody doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 16:22, let him be accursed. This is a profound statement about the nature of true salvation. You can believe the facts and not be saved. The devil believes the facts. The demons believe the facts. They know them to be true. The issue here is loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you love me if you keep my what? My commandments. You love me if you desire my glory and my honor. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. If you were to define Christianity in its purest sense, you would have to use that word love. You can tell a Christian because they love Christ so much, it comes out in joy. It comes out in joy. Why do we sing? We sing because we're filled with joy. About whom do we sing? We sing about Christ. We love Him. What did Jesus say to Peter in John 21 when He wanted to restore him? At the Sea of Galilee, He said, Peter, do you what? Do you love Me? That's the way He defined His relationship. Do you love Me? Peter says, I love you. He said, well, then do what I tell you. Feed My sheep. And He knows if we love Him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. You know, a true human relationship requires love and trust. Love and trust. So does our relationship with Christ. That's how it's really defined. And there's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't love Christ. And all your life long as a believer, you grow in your love for Christ. You grow in your affection for Him. That's why the Apostle Paul says, that I may know Him. Because the more you love someone, the more you want to know them. Paul knew he was loved, and back to Romans 8 again, he knew nothing could separate him from Christ's love for him, but he also knew nothing could separate him from His love for Christ. I mean, isn't that the idea? You can hit me with whatever you want. You can hit me with tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness, famine, sword, and nothing will change my love for Christ. Nothing. I love Him with the love that He gave me. Romans 5:5, the love of Christ shed abroad in your heart. It's a gift from God, just like faith. You've been given a supernatural faith. You've been given a supernatural love which never change. And so it is that undying love that holds on to us. It's a component of our faith. So, we're kept through faith, verse 5, and now verse 9, finally. What is the end? Obtaining, listen to this, as the outcome of your what? Your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's why we say this, folks, that this doctrine should be called the perseverance of the saints, or better yet, the perseverance of faith. You have been given a faith that never perishes. You have been given a faith that is protected by the power of God, a faith that has a hope that never dies, a faith sustained by a divine power that can't be overthrown, a faith that is proven, tested, strengthened through trials, a faith that is designed for the fulfillment of eternal glory which was promised before the world began, a faith that contains within it an undying love for Christ. And the outcome of that faith will be the obtaining of the final salvation of your souls. Simply, folks, there is no escape from this reality. No escape. The result of this saving faith is your final salvation. The present salvation which you now experience is a result of this faith. The initial salvation was the result of this faith. And the final salvation will be yours because this faith will persevere and endure to the very end. That is the nature of this faith. It is nothing less than a permanent gift from God.
That's John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary. His current study on Grace to You Weekend is showing you basically what really happens when God saves a sinner. The title of the study, The Doctrines of Grace. John, you said today that going through trials has bolstered your assurance of salvation. I imagine, though, there are listeners who are experiencing just the opposite. They're facing trials right now, but they're battling doubts about their faith, their salvation. They're struggling with worry. What would your encouragement be for them?
Well, I think that's part of the trial, Carl. But when you come forth with your salvation intact, your faith intact, when you come out the other end of the trial and you still trust, that then is the indication that your faith is the real thing. A non-saving faith collapses. People get angry with God. They turn their back on Him. People who have a superficial interest in the things of Christ don't survive serious trials. Doesn't mean you won't have doubts. Doesn't mean you won't struggle in the midst of the trial. But what you're looking for is the end of it, the goal of it, the objective of it, the final act. What is your faith like when the trial has reached its highest point? And I think that's where vindication of the reality of your salvation comes through in a stronger way than any other. Now, that's what Scripture says, that the testing of your faith has a perfecting work. That is to say that it shows you your faith is the real thing. I've written a book along this line that is designed to help all of us in trials, to get us through these difficult things with confidence in the gospel and with confidence in the faith that the Lord has given us. And its title is Anxious for Nothing. Obviously, through the years, we've heard from many people who battle with fear and worry and doubt and anxiety. This book has been very useful through the years. It takes you into the basic principles found in the Scriptures for handling the difficult issues of life and facing fear and worry and doubt. Shows you how to cultivate contentment, where to shift your focus away from the circumstance on the one who is over the circumstance, who is the master of all circumstances. Get a copy for yourself and maybe somebody you know who needs some biblical help in facing life's trials. The book is titled Anxious for Nothing, and it's available from Grace to You.
How can you defeat anxiety, worry, fear, even depression? Find out in John's book, Anxious for Nothing. Great for someone you know who's discouraged right now or fearful. Order one or more copies as you contact us today. Anxious for Nothing is affordably priced. It's soft cover. To order a copy, call toll-free anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 1-800-55-GRACE. That's 800-55 in the letters G-R-A-C-E. You can also order that book online. The web address is gty.org. That's gty.org. And the title again, Anxious for Nothing. A friend, if today's message encouraged you, if Grace to You Weekend is helping you spiritually, let us know. And thanks for keeping in mind that we are listener-supported. When you pray for us, tell others about the broadcast or give, you're casting, well, a yes vote for John's verse-by-verse Bible teaching in your community and communities like yours throughout the world. Express your support as you write today. Grace to You Weekend, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call 1-800-55-GRACE. And now for John MacArthur and the staff, thanks for tuning in today. Remember to watch Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378 or watch it online at gty.org. And then keep in mind that our daily radio broadcast is heard Monday through Friday. Check local listings for stations and times in your area. And then join us here next week as we continue celebrating 40 years of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You Weekend.